Happy Easter, my friends. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. In studying our scripture readings for today, I found that I couldn't get past staying focused on our first reading from Acts. This passage is quite short, only four verses, but with a lot of powerful imagery and action that invites our thought and contemplation. If we move too quickly, we run the risk of missing the vibrant resurrection faith that the apostles possessed that ignited their extraordinary common fellowship together. We see that for this early church, the resurrection of Christ was both about individual faith and hope and a creative force of community formation and fellowship. I contrasted the reading with what is going on in our culture today and what lays most heavy on my very being. Racism, white supremacy, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, voter suppression, poverty, lack of health care, mass shootings and lack of gun legislation, police violence, immigration, vaccine distribution and mask wearing, distrust on every subject, conspiracy theories, false narratives, and outright lies, lack of integrity, and so much more. Mentally and physically, how can we continue to go on as a faithful Christian and a good citizen? Opposite of what we read from our readings this morning from Acts. If we look at the verse immediately preceding our text this morning, we read in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When we then hear our passage today that the apostles bore testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and thus experienced great power and great grace, boldly proclaiming Christ's resurrection brought with it great power and great grace for the disciples. They found power and boldness in believing in the resurrection. And as we know, grace is a pure gift given by God for everyone. There isn't anything we can do to make great grace happen. God just takes care of that, and we are blessed because of it. Last Sunday, we celebrated Easter Sunday, the day of Christ's resurrection. And I asked, have you encountered the resurrected Christ this past week? I know I have. In my work as a chaplain at SLU Hospital, I am blessed to have the opportunity to encounter Christ through a variety of patients, family members, and staff. I see in the tender, compassionate care given by a nurse to a very ill patient, or a husband kneeling at the bed of his unconscious wife and mother of his three small children, begging God to restore her health. I also see Christ in line at the grocery store or in the man seeking some assistance standing on the street corner close to my home or walking my dog throughout the neighborhood. Perhaps you have seen or experienced Christ recently. Perhaps in the excitement of the Easter celebration, you have spoken or acted a bit differently this past week, proclaiming the amazing life-giving power of Christ's victory over death. After all, we are Christ's disciples now. And in our baptismal covenant, we state that we will share the good news of God in Christ. The good news doesn't get any better than the Lord has risen from the dead. Proclaiming this good news is a part of who we are. And I believe there is resurrection power in our witness to Christ being raised from the dead, a power that unites and brings us together because of our belief in Christ's resurrection. That power extends in our common relationships with those we know and with the stranger we just met on the street. If we look back the beginning of the chapter 4 of Acts, we read that Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. We read that they were both arrested and put into custody because of their bold witness. But it was too late. The text tells us that more than 5,000 had listened and heard their words and became believers. That is some serious influence. God's grace was surely present through the Holy Spirit. And this is what I mean when I say resurrection power. That is true boldness. Do you think we could harness some of that boldness and resurrection power to get us through all the tragedies of daily living? What will it take to give us the courage, the will, the desire, the boldness to share Christ's good news? Will believing in the resurrection allow us to move out of our continual Good Friday living? Now, from the start, the risen Jesus charged his witnesses to share the good news of his resurrection with the entire world. Resurrection is the climactic sign of God's light-giving and life-saving purpose for all people and all places, even to the ends of the earth. Resurrection power brings us together again as Christ Church Cathedral community into new light and new life. Even in these ongoing pandemic days, charging us to boldly demonstrate and live out our faith in Christ and our belief in each other and those outside our church doors. Does the statement, "There was not a needy person among them," make you pause? In our culture, where it seems the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, where hunger, unemployment, adequate living conditions threaten so much of our community, this concept almost seems like a fairy tale. We read, no person had less than another, and no person had more than another. This new church brought people to a place where those who had more shared with those who had less. Everyone was provided for. Everyone's needs were met, and poverty was alleviated. It could be defined as a social revolution. Could it be possible in our day and time? Now, what made this situation possible? What made this New Jerusalem church united? Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, we read. Church unity was a sign of great grace in this newly formed Jerusalem church. Unity. Yes, there was diversity in this early church. Rich and poor, locals and foreigners, siblings, old and young, religious and not religious, privileged and oppressed. Diverse. But that did not stop this group to come together with one heart and soul. Of course, they probably had conflicts, but they were open with each other. They were open to each other, and they held all things in common. I have to believe that they worked tirelessly to rid the lines that divided them. This early church shows us that being united inwardly is also connected to being united outwardly. We don't have to look alike or think alike or belong to the same groups or organizations. Our love and concern for each other makes it possible to knock down the hierarchies that divide us, to remove the lines that give some of us privilege and keep others oppressed. As this early church shows, wealth or gender or sexual orientation, or skin color, or age, or vocation, or political affiliation, or nationality does not have to divide us. We can bring unity to our hurting world. And church unity is not easy or popular. It's been known to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And preaching boldly is a risk. And great grace does not mean you won't get arrested or threatened or slandered. In fact, great grace may make it more likely you will. But you'll be in good company with Peter and John and Paul and all the saints who believed with their voices and bodies in the resurrection power of Jesus. Great grace is the bold proclamation in the face of opposition. The community described in our Acts passage today can challenge and inspire us to speak boldly in the face of opposition and injustice, to knock down the boundaries that divide our society. United, though safely distanced for now, let us go forth proclaiming to our siblings in our community and in our nation, in our world, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we as followers of Christ and all he represents proclaim justice, equality, compassion, and love for all God's people as we individually and collectively work for the common good of all. The theologian Maria Pilar Aquino, in her book, Our Cry for Life, writes that we who believe in the resurrection are called to reach out and touch the wounds of Jesus in the world. There we must repair inequities in every aspect of human relationships, building community and healing where oppression and exclusion exist. These wounds of Jesus, Aquino refers to, are not the physical ones that Thomas wanted to see and touch in our gospel today. No, these wounds are the verbal, emotional, and physically violent wounds and scars still inflicted on Christ each and every day as we further distance ourselves from our spiraling humanity. Our disunity as a nation regarding gun violence and sensible gun laws wounds Christ each and every day and takes the lives of thousands of our siblings recklessly each month. The oppressive new voting laws being introduced in many states wound Christ each day as they will violate the rights of our minority siblings who are being pushed from their right to a fair opportunity to cast their votes. The record number of immigrant children at our southern border seeking entry to the U.S. and those still being held and not reunited with their families for several years now wound Christ deeply and prevent human dignity and compassion to be available to the least of our world. Bills limiting trans youth access to health care inflicts more wounds on Christ and perpetuates the discrimination of our trans community of siblings. And the COVID vaccine inequity within our own nation and around the world lays further wounds on Christ and humanity's inability to rid this global pandemic in a reasonable amount of time. Police violence and killing of unarmed or nonviolent black or brown siblings further wounds our Jesus and further perpetuates racism and white supremacy in our society. Let us not be overwhelmed, discouraged, or feel abandoned, as the apostles must have initially felt. The Holy Spirit is with us, individually and collectively, as a community of faith. And the Holy Spirit will remain with us as we go about building God's vision for our world. Let us have the faith and the will to take action in bringing unity to a hurting world. And as I close, I want to share with you that on Friday morning, as I was kind of wrapping up this sermon, my Sojourner's inspiration came on my iPhone, and it was from our psalm that we had this morning in verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. May it be so. Amen.